And welcome to the Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary Turquoise Gilbert. This is my co-host, Dan Ford.
Howdy, howdy.
Ah, we are here. Pretty big news this week. We've got three guests on the show. Yeah. The first guest will be little guy you may remember from the Pac-12 preview, West Coast Wes. Me and him will be recapping the NFL. And giving some picks for this upcoming Sunday. And Dan, you had two guests yourself.
Oh, sure. We're starting a new segment this week called Conference Spotlight. And this week we'll be taking a hard look at the ACC with our former ACC expert at Cam Kleinard.
Ooh.
And then
that's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, on top of that, we'll be going over this year's AFL Grand Final, the second most popular sport in the entire nation of Australia.
With, good day, mate.
Good, sure. Strip on the Barbie. With Twitter superstar at Boss Moz, Lee Elliott, who will be going over the AFL, what it is, and why the Grand Final is a big deal.
So you want to talk some football?
I don't know what that accent was.
Aussie, mate. From Australia. I call them Chazwazzes. There's a little reference for our Simpsons fan.
We did spend a lot of time talking about how Perth is backwards and strange. So
there you go.
Well, true Aussies will get a kick out of it.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to those interviews in just a little bit. But I kind of want to talk about last week in college football. We kicked off Washington Stanford. Washington dominated Stanford.
Yeah, Washington laying a... I mean, I know there's going to be people who are, like, heavy recruiting people who are going to be like, Washington doesn't have the talent. They don't have the talent. Because their average recruiting class, I think, is, like, 28th or 27th.
Yeah.
But this team is going to plaster the Pac-12 this year. Like, they are going to run everybody over.
And you know what? I hate to be that guy, but sometimes recruiting class numbers doesn't really matter if you have a good system working. You know? It matters in some aspects, but it doesn't mean you can't go to the playoffs.
If your recruiting is not exceptional, you have to be elite at developing.
Yeah.
But we've seen with Michigan State last year, they made it. Now they got their doors blown off once they got there. And I'm not saying that won't happen to Washington too, but the thing about the Pac-12 is there is no team in there that's an elite recruiter other than USC, and USC's a mess.
Yeah.
So
USC's in big trouble.
So you're not, it's not like you've got to go through Alabama, Ole Miss, you know, these teams, and I'm not saying those are great teams, I'm saying teams that have exceptional talent.
Yeah.
There aren't those kind of gatekeeper teams in the Pac-12. So I see no reason why Washington isn't going to just plaster everybody. Cause they just left the best team in that conference laying on the side of the road with holes in them. So.
Just wrecked them, if you will. Yeah. So that game kind of sucked, but Saturday afternoon. There were three crazy endings to a bunch of different games. First one, gotta mention, somebody told you to take Wisconsin, catching points. And
yeah,
they beat the spread.
And that guy was incredibly lucky that Michigan missed three field goals. Because that pick would not have held up if a kicker could have made even one of them.
Yeah, well, he didn't. So, looks like I'm right. I'm genius as usual.
Sure.
So yeah, Michigan... doesn't really look like a team I think that's going to do much in the playoffs if they beat Ohio State. I think
their
they're
defense,
getting there.
They have the best defense in the country, period. Like, and nobody is even really close.
But they kind of play down. There's something about Michigan I don't like. I wouldn't pick Michigan to win the national. I don't even think they'll beat Ohio State.
I think they'll beat Ohio State because Ohio State has not played a team that can stop the run. If you stop the run on Ohio State, I don't think their passing offense is going to be able to make it up.
Well, we'll see. But so, we had that game in. And there's a game you're probably going to talk about a little in the ACC Spotlight in a little bit. But you had UNC FSU. Crazy ending.
And, yeah, you love those game-winning 54-yard field goals. Are the ones that keep you up at night.
Yeah. And I was, I was watching that one at the bar. I had all three games. The other third game we'll talk about in a second. But at all games, head on a swivel. if I'm Jimbo Fisher, I'm looking at LSU. I'm finding that number in the black book.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about this a lot on the spotlight, but FSU, and this is something that's just now hitting me, FSU's starting to give you those, like, that last year of Urban Meyer, doesn't it? Like, aren't you starting to get those kind of feelings there, like that last year or two at Florida Urban had, where the team had, like, no discipline and things were just sort of coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, like you wonder if Jimbo's like, you know, calling in tomorrow. I'm sick, boss. Yeah. You know, while he's heading down to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, having a look around or something.
Facility. Yeah.
What do they eat in Baton Rouge? Because it's not New Orleans. There's different food there, right?
Raccoon?
Like, isn't the rest of Louisiana proud of eating things that you shouldn't eat?
Yeah. Well, that's how they get that way.
Yeah.
You know, that and having sex with their relatives. Sure. But there was another game that had a crazy ending. Tennessee, Georgia.
Oh man, the revenge, the hobnail boot revenge game. It took them, it took them over 15 years to get revenge, but Tennessee finally did it.
They did. So Georgia has their freshman quarterback, their star freshman quarterback, come down, throw a bullet of a pass. He did split the coverage. There were some coverage mistakes on the touchdown, but it was a solid pass. It's really hard to defend when you throw a pass that well. Georgia gets the touchdown, ensuing kickoff, pooch kick isn't great. And then there's what, were there two penalties?
Yeah, they had kickoff? They had multiple penalties on the kick. They had two.
So it moves Tennessee up to about, what, the 50, a little past the 50, I think?
Yeah, just on the other side of the 50-yard line.
Yeah, and Dobbs throws up a prayer. Guy catches it. Tennessee wins. And now I'm starting to wonder, is Tennessee this year's Iowa? Are they, or this year's Auburn?
They're this year's Auburn. Because Iowa, the whole time you're looking at them going, you just don't have the talent. Like, you are lucking your way through all this, but eventually you're going to have to play a team with talent, and it's not going to go well for you. With Tennessee, it's like they have the talent. They're just a disorganized bunch of grab asses and need to get luck to get over the hump.
So I'm going to kind of make a bold prediction here. I like Tennessee to beat Alabama in the regular season.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and then get shellacked in the SEC title game. Yep.
No.
They're going to beat them. Something weird is going to happen.
No.
And well, Tennessee, because I think that game's in Tennessee.
Tennessee's going to need a lot of weird things to happen. And Tennessee is due for a major luck reversal because they have been the luckiest team in the country this year.
Yeah. Well, I think Tennessee's going to go undefeated in the regular season and then get killed in the SEC championship.
That would be funny.
And then Alabama gets in and like a lot of people complain. I think that'll be...
I mean, yeah, but are you really going to want to see Tennessee in the Final Four? I mean, wouldn't you rather have Alabama?
Well, if Tennessee's going to keep winning with these lucky games, yeah. I want to see how they can just fall backwards into a win. That's fun.
Sure. Tennessee is doing their best Ric Flair impression where they just keep walking away with the title. Like, one week they use a handful of nickels. The next week they got the tights. The next week after that they hit somebody with a shoe.
Is it more like an old school honky tonk man? Like a honky tonk man thing? Like where they just keep winning for a year and then they run into like the ultimate warrior, which is Alabama in this situation, and like lose in like a quarter? Get mercy ruled?
Yep. That's our wrestling reference of the week.
There you go. There's wrestling reference of the week. So any other big games? Oh yeah, there was one. Totally forgot. Louisville Clemson.
Yeah, we talked about that one on the spotlight, and I would love to hear your thoughts about that one, because we were enamored with that. That game had us going ACC forever. SEC can suck it.
Maybe, but here's my issue with that game. I did some day drinking on Saturday, and maybe did a couple of shots when Georgia lost, as a big Georgia hater. I'm always happy to see him lose. And I kind of fell asleep after halftime. But I thought Louisville looked good. So did Clemson. Yeah. Both those teams look pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're beating Alabama, but yeah. Sure.
Oh,
I mean, they're
God.
For
Clemson.
ACC teams.
Yeah, Clemson would beat Alabama.
What if they like played last year or this year even?
Oh, you remember when they played last year and they were the better team and Alabama needed a bunch of luck to go their way to win it?
Oh,
I remember
that. No, there's only one way to know who the better team is, Dan.
That's actually not the final score.
Yeah, that's true. If you're a football outsider's geek, yeah. Yeah,
so
but like a real sports
Iowa
guy.
Iowa was the third best Big Ten team last year because they won the third.
They were
because
they won games. What are you supposed to do to win games of football? What do we count?
No.
Wins are like trying hard. Don't give me that social justice warrior crap. Safe space, like, oh, we lost, but we're the better team. Now, fuck that. You lost. You're losers.
But if they had played that game 10 times, Clemson would have won it 7.
Well, they didn't. They played it once. And Alabama won. So SEC but now, still better but than
that
ACC.
That was a better Alabama team than this year's team. So you had a game last year where Clemson played them very close, was probably better if Clemson did not make mistakes, Clemson would have won the game.
Okay, you say this year's Clemson team might be a little bit better? The same one that could barely beat Auburn?
Clemson's team has not dropped off to the point that Alabama's team. Alabama's had a drop off.
But the same Clemson team that barely beat Auburn this year.
Well, Auburn's pretty good this year.
Well, Alabama's probably a little bit better.
Auburn is a better team this year than they were last year. I feel confident saying that.
Yeah. I'm just excited to watch Lamar Jackson in the NFL.
Sure.
I'm just ready to see if that works.
You're really just hoping that the Falcons trade Matty Ice for some draft picks.
No, I mean, not now. Matty Ice is the best quarterback in the NFL. I think me and
you
Les,
say that,
West
but
Coast
if you
West.
Get a chance, if you get a chance to cheer for Michael Vick too, you will dump Matty Ice in a Harvard.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. I will personally cut off his legs. was there anything else you kind of noticed from this weekend in college that kind of caught your eye?
Oregon's dead, man. Yeah. Oregon is so dead.
That duck is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. As most things are once you add Brady Hoke to them. Mark Helfrich is going to be the first Oregon head coach fired since what year, would you like to guess?
1958.
1976 was the last time Oregon fired a head coach.
Closest without going over. So I won.
So... who are you against? who is the other person involved here?
Our producer, Jim. He never talks.
Jim. Yeah. It's like Rush Limbaugh, where only we can hear him. You know, he's a snurdly.
Yeah, but we're not on OxyContin right now. So
speak for yourself. Yeah, Oregon has reached the Nebraska conundrum, which is you're a school that built a brand through continuity. Cause like Nebraska, when Nebraska was a power program, they went from, Bob Devaney to Tom Osborne, without ever having an opening for their head coach. It was just like Bob Devaney retired, Osborne stepped in, Osborne retired, Frank Solich stepped in. Their job never went on the open market. Oregon has not had to go on the open market to find a head coach since 1976. So I think when you do that for that long, one, it is good because you have continuity. It does make it easier to build success. But the flip side of that is that you're not really sure what your job is. Like our head coach is really all that interested in going to coach at Oregon. I'm not sure because we haven't had them exposed to the market in so long. It's a job like Nebraska where there is no in-state talent. You have to do all of your recruiting out of state and you rely heavily on a brand you've built. Nebraska built a brand as like the option team. Oregon has built a brand as, you know, the Nike team, flashy logos, flashy uniforms, spread offense, no huddle.
Well, I think if I'm Oregon, I want to get a shady head coach. Like one, like Ben, cause you got the Nike money right there. Maybe you're making some promises to talent. I want to bring in a guy, like who's the guy who's got a couple of sanctions?
This implies Hugh Freeze is the obvious answer.
Hugh Freeze. I bring in Hugh Freeze to Oregon's the best fit possible.
But
you're going to have guys coming up from Alabama to Oregon.
The thing you're implying here is that Oregon already isn't shady, which they are.
Yeah, well, I mean, you need someone who can you need a really good shady coach, like
Barry
I think
Switzer,
Coach O.
Is he available?
Coach O,
the Coach O,
Dojo.
Oregon's going to be having to look for a new head coach soon, and I think it's going to be very interesting what direction they go in because if they blow up the spread identity, if they go away from that no huddle identity, I think it's going to kill their recruiting because that is their recruiting is hey, this is the place where you will play wide receiver and get all these touches and they will go really fast and they're going to play this really fun version of offense. If they're not selling that, what is Oregon selling? You know, and then you reach the point Nebraska did where Nebraska thought the big problem is we got to get rid of this option. Then they got rid of the option and they looked up and said, well, what the hell are we? Well, we're nothing. Yeah. And they haven't been able to recruit. They have never been able to recruit anywhere near as well as they did when they ran the option.
Well,
when they ran the option,
it was kind of different. Yeah. You know, those schools in Nebraska we've kind of talked about before, all ran the option. You had guys who were option players all in high school.
Right.
And I imagine it's a similar situation in Oregon where even your talent in there, I bet a lot of those high schools are running spreads and Oregon style offenses.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you change it, it's even going to hurt you in state.
When you're a school that does not have a lot of in-state talent, you need to pick a system and stick with it and let the high schools run the same system, because those in-state kids aren't going to be talented enough to really be major contributors. But if they all are sort of familiar with what you do, they can jump in and participate as walk-ons more than they would if you're always jumping from one system to another.
Are a reliable backup who's not going to make mistakes. He might get beat because the guy's more talented, but he's not going to screw up.
Yes.
That's what you want with the backup.
That's the kind of things you have to do when you're a program in a state that doesn't have a lot of talent.
No.
And, I think Oregon needs to be looking at Nebraska and, like, let's not make the same mistakes they made. So yeah. I think they need to be looking for another spread coach. And, Oregon had a good run of hiring coaches, man. I mean, they go from Rich Brooks to, the fella on ESPN these days, whose name just fell out of my head, to Chip Kelly. And then the Helfrich was the screw up.
Yeah.
So, and if you really want to get into why they're going to be, why everybody's going to be fired, Helfrich wouldn't have any idea what a quarterback was if one fell out of the sky and landed on his dick. And two, their defense has been abominable. Their defense is an atrocious disaster. And everybody used to make fun of Oregon's defense, but Oregon's defense was actually very, very good per play. They just had to be on the field a lot. So they gave up more points than other defenses.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even that they got tired. It's that if you play that many plays, eventually somebody's going to score.
Well, and there's the old thing with the defenses where if you're blowing a team out, probably going to give up a couple of touchdowns you wouldn't if it was a close game.
Right, and if you blow teams out, you're going to bring in your backups, and then they're going to put up some points against your second.
Because if you even look at the NFL, usually the best teams kind of rank lower in total yards on defense because they go up by so much.
Total yards. I mean, part of what Oregon is part of proving is that total yards is a meaningless stat. Nobody should care about it.
Yeah, well, no one should care about any stats. You should always watch film.
Well, you should care about scoring. Yeah. Like, you should care about score, you know?
The only stats that matter are W and L.
You should care about yards per play.
Nope.
You know, that's a pretty good one.
That stats are for nerds.
Okay.
But yeah,
this is an ongoing argument.
Yeah, we're going to keep this going. You should hear it off air, people. It's going to spill over one day violently.
One.
Yeah. Before we jump to our guests, Who do you like for the playoffs right now? We're in October. We're not halfway done, but college football's really kicking into gear. Who are your four favorites?
Well, I think you gotta go. I mean, I almost feel embarrassed saying this because it seems so obvious, but I think Alabama and Clemson are your two best teams.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's gonna win the SEC. Clemson, Miami could maybe, I mean, we'll see how Miami does this weekend. Miami is a team lurking that I could see beating Clemson in a championship game. But Clemson is your favorite to win the ACC. I think Michigan is going to beat Ohio State this year. I think Michigan's going to win the Big Ten, and I think they're going to be in that third spot. And then my fourth team would be Washington. I think Washington is the most likely team to end up undefeated. Alabama, I expect to drop a game. Clemson, I could see dropping a game. Don't know about Michigan. I don't think Michigan's going to drop any games. I think Michigan's schedule sets up very nicely to go undefeated.
Mine's going to be kind of similar.
Washington feels like the most likely to go undefeated.
Yeah, but I like Bama to go. I like Clemson, like you said. Love Washington. And then I'm going to Ohio State. I think Ohio State beats Michigan.
Yeah, I look at two things about this Ohio State team is that they cannot get big plays in the running game. They run for 7 yards every single play. Which that's pretty hard. That's pretty bad if you're a defense. So I'm not trying to diminish them, but they're not a team that gets the big 50-yard play, the big 20-yard play.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they play a team that is as elite defensively as Michigan is, and Michigan is so far better than every other defense this year on a per play
basis. Who's Michigan played?
Well, they've played Colorado, which I guess would be their best game, their best. Well, Wisconsin and Colorado would be their best two victories. So
yeah,
far.
Both but those offenses suck.
Colorado's got a very good offense this year, sir.
I mean, come on, it's Colorado. Be relevant.
Well, who has Ohio State played? I mean, what great defense have they rolled up on?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're really confident with your Michigan pick. They haven't played anybody.
Well, neither is Ohio State.
Well, yeah, but, well, because they both play in the Big Ten. They don't play anybody.
Well, they've just played, they both played, crappy out-of-conference schedules this year.
Yeah.
But, I don't have a lot of confidence in JT Barrett. I feel like if the game ends up in his hands, he's probably going to screw it up.
Well, I think we'll find out, but I think Michigan-Ohio State will be a de facto playoff game.
Yeah. It'll be a play-in game.
Yeah.
Washington is obviously the team most likely to blow it because, I mean, they're the team that's jumping up. So, if I'm a Houston fan, I'm rooting for somebody else in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And cause what do you think? If Houston goes undefeated, that means they would have beaten Louisville and you've got a one loss Washington that's the Pac-12 champion. Who gets in?
I'm putting Washington in.
I think I am too, but what do you think? There'd be a lot of people wanting Houston to get in.
Oh, there'd be people upset. I think Washington would beat Houston.
I do too, but.
And I don't see Houston beating Louisville. Not after Louisville lost to Clemson.
Well, that's what everybody on the playoff committee is going to be hoping for, because then they've got a reason to shut Houston out. Like last year when Houston lost to UConn, it was like, well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
All right, but let's start off our carousel of guests. And let's kick off with me and West Coast Wes in the NFL Roundup. And welcome to the Power Hour NFL Bonus. I'm Zachary T. Gilbert. And here's our special guest at the time, Wes.
Greetings. Thank you for having me on. This is West Coast Wes. I'm happy to be here on the Power Hour for another appearance. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, the first on Half Guarded. So.
Yeah, this is big for me. Thanks to the people at Half Guarded. This is the beginning of a beautiful relationship, 10 to 15 minutes at a time, which is how I like it.
Beautiful. Yes. But yeah, we're some little behind the scenes stuff. We're recording this on Monday. Monday Night Football just wrapped up and, I got something to say after the Monday Night game. I like Minnesota to go to the Super Bowl.
Really? All the way?
Yeah, maybe not win it, but I don't think the NFC is that good. And if that defense stays healthy, I don't know who beats them.
Well, it is all about the D. I agree with you. Words to live by there. And if you do take a look at that division, I mean, the bottom of the division has no chance in hell. Chicago and Detroit will fight it out for probably 3 to 4 wins on the year. And then I know you've got some thoughts on Green Bay being pretenders officially starting this year.
I think Green Bay's been pretenders for the past couple of years. Even when they make the playoffs, they're just not that good. Like Aaron Rodgers is good enough to kind of carry them to 10 wins, but they're just not a Super Bowl team, especially not in the modern defensive-driven NFL.
Yeah, you need a defense, and Green Bay really doesn't have much of one. I agree with you on Aaron Rodgers. He's been the key, obviously, arguably the best quarterback in the league, but that can only last so long, and Minnesota already got one off them. So I agree with you. It looks like the path is clear to the playoffs, at least. And through the first few rounds, it's going to be tough to stop a team that has home field advantage if Minnesota does, in fact, you know, enter the playoffs, with a, let's just say a 14-2 record or something along those lines. And that's probably, I'm not going to say they run the table, but if you take a look at that schedule, you got to be excited if you're a Minnesota fan right now.
No, I mean, I think like 14 wins, even 15 wins. This is a solid team that's going to play good ball control offense. They're not going to make Bradford do too much. And he's looking good. He's never had this much talent around him. And Bradford looks like an okay quarterback.
Exactly. Teddy who, Adrian who, I have to give them credit for making the trade that they did. You know, it wasn't like they picked up somebody off the waiver wire to try and just fill in. Sam Bradford. He may not be the best thing in the world, but he's certainly not the worst, and he's more than capable of carrying a team that has talent around him. And you said it best. He's got weapons to work with. So I think I might have to agree with you. There might be a few other teams in the NFC overall that have some say, namely the Birds, whether it's Atlanta or Seattle or the Eagles. But as far as the NFC North goes, I see a clear path for Minnesota.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. Birds on top right now.
Birds on top.
In the NFC, like we saw Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, and the Falcons broke out and, really made Carolina look bad. And now Carolina and another bird team, the Cardinals, two teams that played each other to go to the Super Bowl last year, both are what, 1-3?
Yeah, that's correct. 1-3 and not a lot of positive vibes, as they say. I want to ask you, as a man of the NFC South, I mean, what's your take on Carolina? Is this Super Bowl hangover? Is this lack of personnel as it relates to a certain corner that they should have probably paid last year? Or is it a combination?
I think for sure it's a personnel issue. That secondary is not that good, especially without Norman there to kind of disguise kind of how bad you are. I am a big believer in the Super Bowl loser always has a bad year the next year, regardless. I mean, I know Seattle did okay last year, but even then, I mean, they made the playoffs, but they weren't like your typical Seattle teams of the past couple of years. So I am a big believer in that if you go to the Super Bowl and lose, it kind of gets in your head as a team. And I think the personnel on offense is, Cam Newton doesn't really have a weapon. Kelvin Benjamin's pretty good. Olsen's okay. But he always comes off after his second year with a quarterback. So, I mean, he doesn't have like even a top 20 receiver to throw to.
Yeah.
I think that hurts.
Yeah. I think it does too. And I completely agree with you. I mean, you think about what it does to a team mentally to get all the way to the big dance, and Carolina in particular. I mean, they were sort of the darling of the NFL last year. They were that team that sort of came, I won't say out of nowhere, but they were fresh. They were hot. They had themselves a nice keep pounding phrase to go by. You know, it was all kind of set up for them to take over, and you get that far and come up short. And you have to go back and start all over again. And you know, I think the jury's still out on Cam Newton as far as his mental state goes, whether he bounces back from losses. He doesn't handle losses well. We saw that clearly last year. And it doesn't help when the guy's getting his head knocked off game after game. So who knows? I mean, you know the knock on him. I mean, if there's a tangible knock on Cam, he's a monster. But you can't take these hits, man. And it's not all his fault. But when you have a team like Denver come out in the open Thursday night and pretty much head hunt on them, it's going to catch up. And it obviously did yesterday, as you saw.
Yeah, when he took the big hit, probably from the smallest linebacker that's hit him all year. But
yeah, no doubt. So what was he thinking on that play there? Because I saw the highlight and I thought, Cam, you know, he kind of stopped up short of the goal line. And, you know, did I see that wrong? It was very odd to me.
Yeah, it was. It was weird because you wouldn't think Cam Newton would see a guy that he's bigger than, I'm pretty sure, and slow down. So you wonder if those hits have been getting to him to where he's just subconsciously wanting to avoid getting hit again because he's gotten hit so damn much. You know?
Yeah, that could be the case.
I think that wear and tear. And like I said, no weapon to throw to. So he's got to do it all, and especially with Stewart out.
Yeah, it doesn't look good right now, man. They're going to have to hold one of those players-only meetings. Get it right and get it right soon because, you know, we're four games in, but that's a quarter of the season. You don't have much more time to mess around before this thing can get out of hand pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, but any other thing from this weekend that you noticed that you liked?
Well, I mean, out of the AFC, it looks like Denver and a healthy New England, it looks like more of the same. I guess is what it looks like out of the AFC. I mean, I don't know if you have any differing opinions or if you have a hot team that you think is going to rise up and unseat the usual suspects, but Denver's got a defense and New England's New England. I mean, who else? A healthy Pittsburgh? You think they challenge? I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on that?
I think a healthy Pittsburgh, but the healthy Pittsburgh, that's almost an oxymoron at this point.
Yeah.
Because Roethlisberger is going to get banged up just on the way he extends plays and makes things happen. It's what makes him great. You'd have to like Pittsburgh as maybe the third best team in the AFC right now, but even then, like, the Raiders really aren't ready yet. The Jags took a major step back, and there's no one really that great in the AFC besides the kind of top three or four.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, but you know they're not going to do anything.
No, you just have no faith whatsoever. I mean, I do like Oakland, but I agree with you that not yet. I mean, maybe next year we start talking about the Raiders as a team that's got some experience behind them and can challenge.
Yeah, I like Oakland to maybe get a wild card slot.
Sure. That was a hell of a win for them yesterday. I mean, that's the type of win that you get when you're a legit team, because that one was getting away from them in Baltimore and they managed to pull it out. But, I agree with you. It's either going to be either the Broncos or the Pats. Certainly the AFC South doesn't offer anything. Can we talk about something real quick? Are we ready to criticize? Can we criticize Andrew Luck now? Is that okay? I mean, I feel like this has been building up for years. At some point, can we just go ahead and say that maybe he's not the savior of football that he was made out to be for what, 2, 3, 4 years at this point? What do you think about that?
I think part of the issue with Luck has been his team sucks.
That's true.
I mean, he's been surrounded with, you know, Chuck's a pretty bad coach, you know, no offense to cancer survivors, but he kind of sucks. His best weapon's T.Y. Hilton. He's pretty good, but that's kind of it. Frank Gore's your starting running back. That defense is awful. And then they had three rookies starting on offensive line against Jacksonville. It was just, they're a mess.
All right. I understand. I just, you know, when it was Luck, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, et cetera, the young guns that came out, I always felt that one guy was given a little more credit than he deserved. And I think there were reasons for that. I don't know if you know what I'm hinting at right now, but I think he fit the mold.
Because, Russell Wilson's short.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Russell Wilson short and Colin Kaepernick has too many tattoos. You know what I mean? So I mean, I think Luck at this point, you make valid points. He doesn't have a lot around him, but it's continuing to fall apart and he may have to kneel down during the anthem himself at some point here to get himself back in the spotlight. Otherwise,
I mean, he may not even be able to stand during the anthem because he'll be killed playing in front of three rookie offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's a good literal point as well. Exactly. He might be laying on his back during the anthem.
Yeah.
No disrespect. But
people forget Andrew Luck faster than RG3.
That's true. He was then and he certainly is now, I'm sure. Maybe I jumped the gun. Maybe there's still some good luck. No pun intended.
But speaking of good luck, let's look at some games. Let's look at some spreads for next week. And let's kick it off. Arizona, San Francisco, you're a West Coast guy. I'm sure you're really excited about this one on Thursday night.
Oh, good grief. Well, you know, I mean, 95% chance that a Thursday night game is just going to be a barn burner from start to finish. But can you tell me what the spread looks like in that game? Because that's going to make all the difference.
Arizona favored by 3, but you're starting Drew Stanton at quarterback probably.
Yeah, no.
I think San Fran wins.
I do too. In San Francisco at Levi's Stadium on the back of Blaine Gabbert. How can you go wrong? Yeah. I go with San Francisco as well. 49ers.
Yeah. Live on Twitter.
Of course.
You can't beat.
No.
Okay. You know what? New England catching 10 versus Cleveland. Probably, but I really want to take Cleveland there catching 10. New England's favored by 10. Excuse me.
Well, I know Cleveland is one of your preferred teams just in terms of the eye test, so to speak. I know you're a big Terrell Pryor fan. I know you like the skill position players. I mean, in theory, the return of Tom Brady, I'm going to go with the Pats myself. I'm going to go with the Pats by 3 touchdowns.
Especially after a loss last week. I think, I don't want to be Cleveland.
Nah. Do you ever?
Let's see. We got the Battle of the Beltway. Baltimore, Washington. Baltimore's favor about 3.5 to 4. Depends on who your guy is. But,
Boy, I don't know
Washington,
there.
I'm not sure on that one. I don't know if I'm touching that one.
I'll stay away. Let's throw that one out.
Yeah. You're not putting anything on that one.
No, sir.
Okay. You know what? You got Atlanta catching about 6 going to Denver.
Okay. This is the game of the week. No doubt.
Yeah.
Atlanta at Denver. What do you think? I mean, this is high-powered offense versus steady defense. I mean, and this is Trevor Siemian, I believe, versus Matty Ice. This is Julio Jones, the best receiver in football right now against that Denver secondary. I mean, I'll defer to you on this one. This is your pride and joy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm worried about this one going in. I actually like us better to maybe beat Seattle than Denver.
Interesting. Interesting.
That said, I think Ware's out for this game still, so it is, you can kind of double team and save guys, so you just kind of pick on Von Miller. I mean, if Matt uses his guys, they've got a chance, but I think I like Denver. I don't know if I like a -6. If I can get that down to 3.
I'm gonna tell you what, my friend. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna pick your Falcons to get it done. Ooh. Outright. By a touchdown. Denver. Who has Denver played so far? Let's see. They played the Bucks. That's nothing. Bengals, eh. Colts, eh. Panthers, we're finding out maybe that wasn't the game that we thought it was going to be. So I'm feeling the birds. I think Falcons this week, Falcons at Seattle the next week, maybe not as much, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
We'll find that out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, but also the Falcons lost to the Bucks, just beat the Panthers, beat the Raiders, the Saints suck.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I think we'll find out this week how legit Atlanta is. Let's go to Sunday night. That's going to be the Giants, Green Bay. Not really a spread on that one yet because of, you know, we're recording on Monday. The earliest I'm seeing though is Green Bay favored by like 6.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, despite what we said about Green Bay, this is at Lambeau Field, if I'm not mistaken. And, I don't know about you. I'm not sure what to think of the Giants. I know it's tough to say because they did play against a good defense who held Odell Beckham Jr. to what, 3 catches, 23 yards. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I think Green Bay, if they can ugly it up enough, if you can maybe get Odell tossed, get him out of the way, I'm still inclined to pick Green Bay at this point, but, I don't know. We'll wait till later in the week, and you can follow me on Twitter.
This feels like your classic Eli game where they're down in the second half by like 2 scores. They almost come back in the fourth, but then he throws a pick to lose it.
Yeah, that is a classic Eli move. He kind of was headed in that direction tonight almost.
Yeah, you thought it was coming tonight, but you know that game's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming on national TV because that's usually when you get it.
That's right. So. That's right. Yeah, I think we'll build to that eventually. This could be the one, and this could be where, you know, Odell really loses it on the sideline after the pick and all hell breaks loose. I mean, that time is coming. And hell, why not this week?
Yeah. And then, next Monday, Tampa Bay, Carolina, opening at Carolina -6. I expect that to switch in Tampa's favor really quick.
Yeah.
Especially
if
Newton's out.
If Newton's out, I think so too. I'm gonna go with the Bucks.
Well, I know you're a big Derek Anderson guy.
I sure am. And you saw yesterday. Yes, sir. Or he's a former Beef. He didn't look half bad yesterday, did he? I mean, I know it broke down.
You're playing cover 3.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, fair enough. But still, I might swing in the Tampa direction myself, even at this point. Carolina.
With Tampa, I feel like they're a lot better than people are giving them credit for right now. Like they've kind of looked bad at times, but that team's good. There's a good team under there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's coaching or what's going on, but I mean, they should have beaten the Rams. They kind of got blown out this week, but. That's a decent team, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a gun to my head right now, regardless of Cam's status, I'm going to go with Tampa. I just really don't feel good about Carolina at this point in time. I think maybe they need a bye week to get it right, and I don't know if they ever get it right by the end of the year.
But all right, but besides, there's anything particular looking forward to this weekend with the NFL?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Seahawks having a bye week. I mean, it comes at a great time. I'm feeling good about the Seahawks, all things considered. And, I really building up to that big matchup with the Falcons. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a show. I know you'll be there. I'll be there. It should be a marquee game. And that's why I really hope Atlanta does pull it off against Denver. Cause think about that. Think about the momentum the Falcons would have.
Maybe they are Joe Buck for that game.
Oh, a little Buck and Aikman action. No doubt about it. Not a finer broadcast team in the nation.
But yeah, the bye week, you coming out a good time for y'all too. Cause you know, you get the first kind of second weekend of October. Nice time to be outside on a Sunday.
Yeah, it sure is. Not only that, but the team can use it. You know, Russell Wilson's a little bit banged up But he's a Superman. He's one of those types of guys where, you know, if it's not a blown ACL or a spinal fracture or a rotator cuff or something along those lines, he's going to get out there and play. And he actually looked pretty decent, all things considered, yesterday. So a week off with that guy and whatever he uses, you know, the power of the Lord, I guess, is what he's into.
And having sex.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing that now. I mean, that's the 1-2 punch, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I was raised on. So, I mean, hell yeah, let's do it. 2 weeks from now, my friend, I'm already getting the popcorn ready, as they say. I'm going to get some beverages and some substances, and we'll both enjoy that one.
All right. That should be fun. But we'll catch you next week.
All right.
Right,
sir.
Here on the NFL bonus coverage. We'll come up with a better name next week.
Yes, sir.
We'll get.
Thank you.
Oh, that was good stuff, Wes. That was very good stuff, Zach. That's, I feel way more knowledgeable about the NFL now.
Yeah.
But
so that was a fun time, so expect me in West Coast West every week. We can make it happen from the NFL.
I get to listen to that every week?
Yeah. Every week. Here we go.
Looking forward to that.
But yeah, we'll start off one of your guests up next. Let's go ACC Spotlight, Conference Spotlight.
ACC Conference Spotlight. I'm looking. Yeah, this is a good one. This is a good one.
Yeah.
And thanks, Zach, for that wonderful introduction. This is the inaugural conference corner between myself and a guest. Could be anybody, but I think more often than not, it's going to be our guest tonight, and that is Cam Kleinert, at Cam Kleinert. How you doing, Cameron?
Doing great. Someone hit the applause button on the soundboard, please. I need some applause to get in here. I do like that it's conference corner with Cam Kleinert. We really have the alliteration down pat.
It's quad C's. Yeah. It's quad C's. You can't beat that for a segment. This week we're looking at the ACC, so it just made sense that when you're starting a new segment, you call in the expert. And as everybody who's a longtime fan of the Power Hour knows, Cam Kleinert is our ACC expert. we've got fans going back to SoundCloud. Don't even let the half-guarded people. Yeah, yeah. Look, we did more episodes than you think. I'm now learning how many of our episodes you listen to. it's making me feel bad. It's making me feel bad. But obviously a lot happened in the ACC this week. I think the game of the week was probably the ACC this week. But let's run through that whole conference. Let's get everybody up to date on
the
goings and
comings.
Sure,
we'll get to the
game
of the week eventually. You don't want to start with the game of the week. This is like
then it's all downhill.
Right, this is the opposite of news. Don't lead with your strongest. Instead, lead with Marshall Pittsburgh. That's what you should lead with. Pittsburgh 43, Marshall 27. I know Pittsburgh was your favorite team coming into this year. How do you still feel about them?
I mean, I still feel good about them. They just, I think they're a great team. Well, not great. They're a very good team. I still think they're really the best team in the Coastal, but they screwed it up.
They do have Matt Canada still, and they do have Pat Narduzzi. I mean, that's a heck of a combo. It just, unfortunately, they don't get to suit up and play.
Yeah, they just kind of blew their opportunity by letting that game get away from them earlier in the season. But,
Which game was that? That
was the Carolina game, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Same way they beat Florida State. We'll keep on moving on to NC State, Wake Forest. NC State 33, Wake Forest 16.
This had
to be a horror show to watch, right?
That was a stunner to me. I had Wake in the picks for that one. Wake's been playing very good defense going into that week, and State's just been looking bleh. State came out and put some points on the board.
That is the best description of State's offense since Matt Canada left. It's bleh.
Just bleh. I mean, but when it's over, it starts making sense, right? Like, Wake Forest can't score. And if you get any points early, that game's over with. You know,
right. So, and I mean, Wake was 4-0 going into the game, but they hadn't played anybody.
Right.
So, I mean,
they had a transitive win over Notre Dame.
That's true. By beating Duke. That's a good point. Yeah. I forget about that. And God, Duke and Notre Dame, those two, I'm sure we'll get to talking about them later. Those two teams. Whew.
Yeah.
Very real. Go ahead.
But Wake Forest was one of those teams where you're like, nobody really wanted to believe that they could have a Cinderella run this year. And then this game's like, okay, they weren't. We were right. We don't have to pretend they're any good.
Thank God for that. Buffalo 3, Boston College. Wow. 35. I didn't know Boston College could score 35 points in a season.
I didn't know they could stack shit that high. Buffalo's a terrible program. Buffalo could be good in about 2 or 3 years. They did hire a coaching legend from Division III. What are those, you know, the two programs in Division III? Like there's Mount Olive or Mount Holly or there's something Mount something. And then there's like, I think Wisconsin Whitewater, and they play each other every year for the D3 title. I can't remember whose team, but one of those teams' coach went and took the Buffalo job.
Northwest Mississippi Community College, is that D3? What is that?
I
read a story about them being first in the country in whatever division they're playing
like
in, so I had to give them a plug.
They're probably like HBU. Like, is the CIAA still around?
I have no idea.
When I was a kid, I think that's where Winston-Salem State played.
Oh,
you know me. I love Winston-Salem State and NC State.
Boston College has a fun, when we're talking Boston College, they actually have an interesting matchup next week. They play Syracuse.
Is that interesting?
I mean, Syracuse should beat them, I think.
Sure.
It's interesting in the fact that no one wants to watch this, but it's probably going to be a close game.
That's their best shot to get a conference win because they already lost to Wake.
Wait, so. Boston College's conference? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So if they're gonna break that conference loss streak, it's either coming this week or it's probably not happening.
And I do, for their sake, hope that they break it, because I cannot deal with another year of watching a linebacker or whoever it is for Boston College cry at the end of the season saying that they're so disappointed they didn't win a single game. I just can't watch that anymore, and it hurt me to my soul. Virginia 34 against the Duke Blue Devils of 20. The Notre Dame beating Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, that Notre Dame, they got a lot of bad transitive losses right now. Because Notre Dame's transitive losses, they've lost to Oklahoma State, they've lost to Cal, they've lost to Wake Forest. I mean, Notre Dame, just, they're piling up the transitive losses.
And they actually lost to Texas, which looks pretty bad in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a good loss. Is that an all-time record for, like, the game in week one that we thought meant something, and then by week five we're like, oh God, it didn't mean anything?
Yeah,
like, has there ever been a game that lost that much lust? Because that was the highest rated game of the year, TV viewership wise. And probably nothing's gonna touch it until we get to, like, conference championship.
Well, but TV viewership, I mean, you got a couple of different things going there. You got huge national fan bases.
Well, I mean, yeah, Notre Dame has the largest fan base in the country. And
so,
Texas,
I mean, that has a lot to do with it. You got
strong
two programs with hype, you know.
Right.
Obviously, they didn't
live up to it. How are those fans gonna be feeling? Like, you get all these people who come in for just a, well, we're off on a tangent here.
No, I can really say, actually, how are those fans for Virginia and Duke going to be feeling that we spent the entire time about their game talking about Notre Dame?
Bronco! Bronco is getting it done. He is not a quick turnaround guy. You do not hire Bronco to come in and win 10 games the year you hire him. But by God, he's creating a culture there, and you're slowly starting to see Virginia morph into being a tough, physical, you know, we're Broncos boys, we're going to get you. So I am enjoying the Broncoization of Virginia.
Gonna be a fun, you know, project that out 5 or 6 years, Bronco Virginia and Fuente at, Virginia Tech. That's gonna be a fun recruiting trail, who they're going at, cause they definitely go at a little bit different players.
Yeah.
They definitely play a different style of football. And obviously Virginia Tech has such a history of beating them that almost every time that game's played, it's the horror show on Twitter.
I don't see Virginia being able to do much recruiting against Virginia Tech, but I do see Virginia being able to, like, pull in smart kids, like going sort of like a Stanford-y type thing where they go across the country and go, hey, you want to get a pretty decent education and live in a pretty cool college town? Come to Virginia. And then Virginia Tech actually gets Virginia kids from the Tidewater that you want to get.
Very good. Go ahead and talk about your Notre Dame, your favorite terrible team, Notre Dame Syracuse, 50-0. Syracuse scored 33 on Notre Dame's defense.
One of my favorite bits about that game is I'm watching that with a group of people, and, like, Notre Dame has been stuffed up the middle, like, 3 or 4 times. I'm like, God damn it. Every time they throw the ball, they get a touchdown. Every time they try to run the ball, it doesn't work. They immediately run a sweep that is completely shut down, but then the running back just reverses field for 80 yards. And I'm like, look. I was right. That was not going nowhere. That's bullshit. So the moral of the story there is that Syracuse is trash.
They do have they have a pretty good offensive coach.
Yeah.
From, you know, Dino Babers or whatever. So when I was joking about 33, maybe that's the light at the end of the tunnel there for Syracuse.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, well, if he's such a great offensive coach, why didn't he put up more points on Notre Dame? Everybody else does.
first year, give the man a break.
That's true, first year. But Notre Dame's defense has given up more yards of 60 plays or more than every other team in the country. So I'm just saying.
All right, we'll move on to talk about the third best team in the ACC. Georgia Tech, no wait, Miami versus Georgia Tech. Third best team in the ACC, agree?
Man, Paul Johnson's got to be pissed off. He thought he finally wasn't going to have to coach against Mark Richt no more, and then the bastard comes into his division. Now he's got to play him every year still.
I'm just going to point out, your ACC expert, when picking these games before it happened, legitimately didn't even think about that. Picking the games, I was like, nah, I don't know. I'll go with Georgia Tech. They might be feisty. And then the game started, and like 2 seconds into the game, I went, oh God, what was I thinking?
Oh God, Mark Richt's coaching Miami now. Oh no. Yeah, Georgia Tech's screwed.
Kids, that's why you should study before the test. Don't just show up.
Sure. Donald Trump reference. Paul Johnson had some feisty comments this morning or yesterday evening. I'm not quite sure the timing of them, but he had some feisty comments about Georgia Tech's administration, which, I mean, that's a guy who does not give a shit about being fired, because he's, there's some people talking about him on a hot seat, but the reality is his buyout is probably way more than Georgia Tech's ever going to be willing to pay for. And he was like, look, you give a commitment, you get the results that you have a commitment for. He's basically just like, our facilities are shit. They won't let me recruit nobody who has an SAT score under 1300. I got to put all my kids through math classes. They all got to take calculus. And it's just, this is bullshit.
Where would he go, say he got fired? Who would be interested in a Paul Johnson post-Georgia Tech?
I mean, he would love to leave. I think that's for sure. And no, you know, Nebraska, I mean, if he had a good year this year, if he didn't get the Nebraska job, then I don't see him getting one in a major conference, especially now he's starting to age out of that, out of a job like that. If Georgia Southern takes a step back with their new coaching staff, he could go back there, cause that's a better job now than when he first had it. Cause when he was first there, obviously they were in FCS and now they're in FBS. It wouldn't be quite Bobby Petrino going back to Louisville, because Louisville's in the ACC, but it wouldn't be the same fall down to go back to Georgia Southern at this point.
Other than Nebraska, it is going to be tough for him to get a major Power 5 job, right?
Yeah, and it's not that option football is dead or something, but the way he runs it, nobody's want. I mean, the issue when you watch Georgia Tech is if they have to throw, they're totally fucked.
Yeah, they can't do it.
They can't pass block anything.
Very sad to watch, actually.
Whereas when you watch a team like Tulane, who run the triple option out of the shotgun, when they try to throw the ball, at least they're back in the shotgun and the quarterback has like a half a second to try to get rid of the ball. Georgia Tech, it's just hike, run away! Oh God!
And remember 2 years ago when there was talk about that guy, that quarterback being a Heisman candidate?
He did have a Heisman caliber season 2 years ago.
Just saying.
It's all gone to hell on him. That poor bastard.
That is shame. All right, let's move on to the most exciting game, the most exciting midday game on Saturday.
I'm glad you clarified
that. Yeah, I'm looking
that.
Right at you, Georgia and Tennessee. Looking right at you. Didn't care for that Hail Mary nonsense. Let's talk Florida State, North Carolina.
Well, these are your boys. So you need to... You tell
they're
me how you felt
boys,
about your boys.
You know.
They're America's team.
No,
go Heels,
I felt
go
the
America.
Same way. What's that?
Go Heels, go America.
Right. Just the way Obama said it. Oh my God. Too many inside jokes, folks. This is how you don't do a podcast. If you're ever interested,
sure.
Don't do it this way.
Hey, they use hashtag go Heels, go America. They use that, don't they?
It's
Isn't
pretty,
that a UNC
yeah, but
hashtag?
No one knows where it actually came from.
I didn't even know where it came from.
Yeah,
so.
Obama said it, as far as my knowledge is, because I was there, and I'd never heard anyone say it until he did. He was obviously a candidate at that time. He was at the Dean Dome speaking. He was the second politician that I had gone and seen that year speak live at UNC, and he said at the end of his speech, go Heels, go America. So that's where we got it from. Fun stuff. No, I'm telling you, the North Carolina-Florida State game was more exciting than Georgia-Tennessee, because 23 seconds left, and this team... They didn't drive down the field, but they somehow appeared on the other end of the field. I'm still not sure how they got there.
It's some Harry Potter shit.
Yeah. Wingardium Leviosa all the way to the other side of the field. close enough for Nick Weiler to say no wide left, no wide right, Florida State. No. Straight and true, right down the middle.
You breaking the hearts of 35-year-old, 40-year-old Florida State fans with that reference.
I know. Well, you know, it kind of broke my heart. We were growing up in that age. That was heartbreaking to watch Florida State continue to lose games that mattered off of stupid field goals.
Yeah. Kickers, nope. Man.
But I don't know. I mean, North Carolina is the same team that they were last year. The team last year was 11-1 off of a weak schedule. The team this year has won close games. But I mean, they're getting by on, you want to call it clutch, you want to call it luck, you call it what you want, they're getting by on it, and it's gonna, ultimately get Larry Fedora a very good paycheck. So good for him.
Yep. Larry Fedora's about to get paid. I'm not sure by who yet, but somebody about to pay him a lot of money.
LSU's obviously on the list. Who else you got on the list for Larry?
Let's see. Well, the Ole Miss job might come.
No.
The Ole Miss job might come open if Hugh Freeze bolts over NCAA stuff. Would Larry Fedora? Would he switch?
You want to go into more NCAA?
Yeah,
he trouble.
He goes for. I mean, that's just Larry Fedora will show up and coach your team through NCAA problems. He don't give a shit. Just pay
surely
me.
He's tired of that by now, right?
Surely. Let me think. Who else is available? What else jobs are going to be? Well, Auburn. He seems Auburn could do a lot worse than Larry Fedora.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But Auburn's a better job than North Carolina. But is it that much better of a job being in the SEC?
Don't tell Zach I said this. I don't think it is a better job, but they will probably pay him more.
Right. They'll pay him more. And I mean, it's a better job in the sense of on campus. On campus, he is the top dog. At UNC, you're never going to be the top dog. So,
but we're starting to get to the point where not being the top dog might be actually a bonus because it means they're less likely to fire you after one bad year. If you're the top dog on campus, everybody paying attention to everything you do.
That's true.
You let out a bad fart and somebody's coming for you.
Well,
somebody's coming
should.
For your
I mean,
job.
Have a little bit of decency.
Look, hey, Larry Fedora's diet is apparently he what is it? His diet? He eats no vegetables.
No, it's just Red Bull. He doesn't eat solid foods.
He eats nothing. He eats nothing but red meat and drinks Red Bull.
It's
and yeah, I know he's got abs, but that means that man is letting out some bad smells at the end of the day.
Speaking of bad spells, how about Louisville Clemson? That was just an awful game, wasn't it?
God, that was one of the best games I've ever seen.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just wanted to try and do a transition as good as the actual host of this podcast. It was my only hope, and I failed miserably.
Man, we got two potential Heisman. I mean, that's 1-2 in the Heisman race, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure which order it is, but I'm pretty sure that's going to be 1-2.
I think that right now it's clearly Jackson.
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on how things end up at the end of the year.
If you'd listen to the beginning of that, right now it's clearly.
Yeah, right now. I mean, right now. Right now there's no tomorrow.
He's playing on varsity and everybody else is playing on Heisman.
I mean, just watching him hurdle people is, I'm gonna remember that. Like, that's gonna be the thing I remember about that guy when he's no longer with us and he's probably in the pros being told he needs to run a West Coast offense and do three-step drops and throw. I'm gonna remember the way he used to hurdle people and make football look like it's the easiest sport in the world to play.
He is one that needs to stay 4 years, though, right? Because at the end of his time, he may be done. There may be no more football for you.
Yeah.
Sir.
Enjoy
sadly
this.
Enough. Although maybe if he stays longer, maybe the NFL will evolve to a certain extent. Well, they'll be a little bit more freewheeling with it.
He'll end up a wide receiver.
Terrell Pryor Sr.
Look.
I love that he added senior recently. Like,
yeah, he wanted you to know he's had a kid. He wanted you to know he has a kid and he cares about him.
Which is good. You know, I'm all for that. Good family man, Mr. Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, sir. Because he's listening to the podcast, right?
Yeah, he's a big fan.
Thing. Sure.
Yeah, we're probably over our time limit. We got to go. Zach, save us from all this nonsense.
Oh, thanks, Dan. That was fascinating ACC talk that I definitely just listened to and heard. next up. We're going to go down under, mate.
Oh,
talk
boy.
A little Aussie rules football with your mate, Boss Moores.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you aren't on the interview now because that might have caused him to strangle you through the internet.
Oh, whole time I would have been doing that. I can't help it. I love doing bad accents. It's one of my favorite things to do, mate.
I don't even know what accent you're doing anymore. It could be South African, though.
Yeah, but let's throw to that. Let's learn a little bit.
Yeah, good stuff.
And thank you, Zach, for that wonderful introduction. But coming to us now, this is the first ever segment on the history of the, what are we called again? The Gilbert and Ford Power Hour. That's what we are on halfguarded.com. This is our first ever Aussie Rules Football update with the talented, the famous, the most notable person on Twitter. If you're not following him on Twitter, what are you doing with your life? Lee Elliott, also known as @BossMoz, the man. How you doing there, Lee?
Hello, sports fans. Hi. Do you have a name for your listeners? Power Men 5000.
Power Addicts. They're power. Okay. They're addicted to the power.
Power Addicts. Hello, Power Addicts. We're going to talk about some football, but not the kind you like.
The other kind of football.
One of the other kinds.
That's true. There's so many. But there is. This one does have a better claim to being called football because you do actually kick the ball, correct?
There is a lot of foot to ball contact.
Yowza.
Not as much as, say, soccer, but yeah, probably more than American football.
It's
not a competition. We're all allowed to call it football.
See, now that's how everybody knows you're Australian, because you're not being a jerk about it.
If
you were a Frenchman, you would be like, your sport, it is barely football.
Well, sure, that's the national tradition.
Sure.
France.
Sure. Specifically, you're more of an expert. Don't tell them, Lee.
Okay.
You're an expert on footy.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. I have certificates and everything. yes. So, Australian rules football is actually not popular all over Australia. It is and it isn't, but sort of as you get up to the northern part of Australia in the states like Queensland and New South Wales, most of the people there watch rugby and that's their football. It's an Australian league of rugby, but there's a bit of competition between that and the Aussie rules, which is the AFL.
And those of you in America, you will know rugby as that sport that guy you knew in college who didn't make the football team and didn't get a scholarship offer anywhere, but he was like, "Oh, I play this now. It's way tougher than football. You should come see it." And then it's just a bunch of guys holding each other because it's crappy rugby. I mean, I'm not saying that's what Major League Rugby is like, but when you're seeing like crappy college club rugby, it's just a bunch of fat dudes hugging each other.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys with no necks and very, very broad shoulders.
Sure.
Just being very violent towards each other. But ours is a bit more fast paced, a bit more, high flying at times.
Would you say offensive oriented? Like there's a lot
of
offense.
Yeah, definitely. It's a high scoring game usually.
Let me run this comparison by you. It's almost as if soccer, rugby, and basketball all had a menage and made a baby, and no one's really sure who the father is.
Absolutely, yeah, that's still a mystery.
but it's got that basketball up and down thing.
Definitely, that, like, yeah. I would compare it to basketball in it's very fast paced and high scoring. Can be very back and forth. The game this past weekend was, which was the 2016 Grand Final, which is, you know, like the Super Bowl or the World Series or whatever. It's the end point of the year's football.
So let's drill down on that Grand Final. How long have they been playing this day?
I think this year was the 120th anniversary of AFL or VFL football. Originally it was just the Victoria Football League, which is Victoria's a state in Australia, which is really the main base of this kind of football.
Melbourne, you know, would be the city. Yeah.
Definitely. Most like almost half of the teams in the league. And I think there's 18 these days. Almost half of them are Melbourne based, various Melbourne suburbs. And as time has gone on, it's branched out into all the other states.
And we could all agree here, Victoria is the best state in Australia.
I don't want to get into that. there's a lot of, there's a real rivalry, especially against Melbourne and Sydney. And that comes into our grand final because one of the teams in our grand final was the Sydney Swans.
Oh, what's their fight song? Sing it for us.
I am blanking. I can't remember their song.
Which is the one da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Which one's that?
That might be Sydney.
Okay.
That might be Sydney, that, yeah. Yeah,
our
cheer, cheer,
will...
cheer, 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 the red and the white.
Our fans would know that as the Notre Dame fight song.
Right.
Probably the most famous fight song in all of college football, probably all of American sports. And the Sydney Swans also use it.
Right. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Is one all of my favorite things.
Almost all of our club songs are like reworkings of old songs anyway. One of the songs is just the French national anthem with different lyrics.
Was like the thing with the Notre Dame fight song is there's plausible deniability. Like that might have been some other song, right? That we don't even know about. Like that back in the 1800s that everybody knew. That yeah, you know, Notre Dame put their own words to, or Sydney put their own words to. But I'm pretty sure the French national anthem, one had dibs called.
They've got a claim on that. But yeah, so it was Sydney on one side, and they're one of the sort of top most successful teams of the last 5-10 years or so.
So it's interesting because you said the base of the footy is Victoria. Yet this, are the Swans a Johnny come lately historically, or are they somebody who've always been strong and they were like the foreigners, the evil foreigners of the AFL?
Any interstate team can be seen as an evil foreigner sometimes to the Victorians. You know, the thing is, whoever is in the grand final, it could be two interstate teams. The final will still be played in Melbourne. And it'll be a crowd of mostly Melbourne people. So it's nice to have at least one Melbourne-based team in there, which we did.
Okay. So that brings up a question. If will fans of other teams, of other Melbourne-based teams or other Victorian-based teams, if their team doesn't make it and there's another Melbourne team in there, will they rally behind them? Will the Melbourne and Victoria thing overcome? Or like, fuck those guys. I really hate them. I go to work with them. I hate them more than everybody else.
Look, it depends on the team. There are some teams that are based in Victoria that everyone hates still. The Collingwood Magpies is definitely a very hated team.
That would be your team, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. Yeah, yeah. But they're also one of the most popular teams as well. So that sort of plays into it. But
a Dallas
yes.
Cowboys, if you will. A New York Yankees. Maybe without
I
the
will.
Success.
Yeah, yeah. But this year was a good example of everybody getting behind the home team, so to speak. Okay. Cause our other team was the Western Bulldogs. And they're based out of Melbourne. Yes. They're based.
I'm not saying, I mean, you're obviously the expert. But knowing you for a while, I have started to learn some of these teams, and that one was like literally you might as well have said, oh, they were the Scriplandu Fleckendorfs. Because well, it's like, oh, that's a team. Okay. Oh boy.
Well, the name, they changed it, I think, in the 90s. They used to be the Footscray Bulldogs. Footscray is a suburb of Melbourne. I think they changed it to Western to maybe, I don't know, garner a bit more support. Just
well, wait,
the West is a bit more.
Yeah, because isn't the West, relatable? Isn't that basically like Perth?
It is,
like, that
yeah,
confuses
yeah, no.
Me.
They're Western Melbourne, I guess. Okay. I think. I'm actually even not sure about the geography on that, but the point is they've been around since 1877. Ooh. They're one of the old teams. Sydney's a bit newer than that, but they've still been around for quite a while. But the thing about the Bulldogs is since 1877, they had won one premiership. That's one
that's
grand final.
Good.
And that was 62 years ago in 1954.
Oh boy.
So with Sydney, it is a long time. So with Sydney being such a successful team, and I don't think people really hate them, but they've had their success. They've had their time. They ended the normal season as the number one ranked team going into the finals. So. Yeah, everyone's like, they've had their time. We've got these underdogs, the Bulldogs, under Bulldogs. They're 62 years since they've won a premiership. Everyone wants to see them get the win, basically.
Right.
And especially in front of that Melbourne crowd. It was a pretty one-sided crowd. No mean animosity towards Sydney, but just everyone wants to see the underdog win, you know? So it was sure. A really like electric atmosphere.
I mean, that when you get a, I mean, there's nothing in sports quite like when you have an underdog nobody really expects to win, who sort of has a one of the Cinderella seasons. I mean, come on, that's what the college basketball championship in this country is all based around, is the idea that maybe some underdog will get on a run and win some games and be in that kind of opportunity to play Duke or Kentucky and maybe beat them. I mean, people sing songs about this stuff. That's the good stuff in sports.
Yeah, it's just about as dramatic as you can get. And the game itself, this was this past Saturday, October the 1st. It was a very dramatic game, very close, back and forth. The lead went back and forth, I think, 5 times between Sydney and the Bulldogs. Close right down to the end. They were playing very passionately and scrappy. It was like a desperate game, very dramatic. And
lots of people jumping on backs, I assume.
Absolutely, a lot of that and a lot of just scrambling to grab the ball and get it through the goals, which
and when
is
I,
how
when
it
I say
works.
That for our listeners, that is that's one of the defining characteristics of Aussie rules football, right? That you can just climb up somebody's body and use them as a prop to catch a ball.
There's a lot of kicking the ball very high and very far, and then someone else catches it, and that's called taking a mark. If you catch it, you get a free kick, so you get to sort of take your time and kick it to someone else. And that's basically how it works. And sometimes one guy will be ready to take a mark, then someone from the other team runs up behind them, sort of boosts up on top of their back, and grabs the ball above them, and it's very exciting when that happens.
I would recommend to anybody listening to this show, just when this is over, or maybe even pause, I trust you to come back. I believe in you. Go fire up some YouTube videos of like, just type in best marks AFL.
Yeah, or put in, a specky, which is SPECCIE. It's short for a spectacular mark. That's sort of the colloquial term for it.
And search for Jezza.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a classic mark from a grand final, in the 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So end of the day, end score, the Sydney Swans, 67 points, the Western Bulldogs, 89. They brought the trophy home. Finally.
So that's what sports is about. I'm so glad to hear that. So, I wish I still had that weird name though, because that would have made it better.
Foot scrape. Like,
yeah, the foot scrape Bulldogs.
Yep. Well, they're still based out of there, and I think, you know, people who remember that still think of them as that team. But yeah, obviously after they won, after the final siren goes, just absolute scenes of, you know, celebration and joy. Everyone loves the underdog, and everyone was happy to see him win. And
so is everyone still drinking in Melbourne?
Well, they would be anyway, but yes, they're happy drinking. So that's good.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy that the people of Melbourne have something to celebrate. Finally, yes. A victory over Sydney.
Yes, absolutely.
Did anyone threaten to see? That's the thing. If this was, if the AFL was like college football, then somebody would have tried to burn down the Sydney Opera House. just to be like, oh, this thing you love, we'll take it from you.
I don't think any of that happened. I don't think it gets that violent.
I think the biggest situation I ever saw in college football is there's a rivalry, and obviously my co-host here, he's a big fan of the Auburn Tigers, who are located in lower Alabama along the Gulf. They're rivals with Alabama, who are in the northern part of the state near Birmingham. Up there.
Mm-hmm.
A fan of Alabama showed up to Auburn, and Auburn has these two oak trees that they're very proud of, that they throw toilet paper at and worship after wins. It's very strange.
Wait, that's a form of worship?
Yeah, I mean, they pray to it. There's a lot of weird stuff there. I mean, it's earth worship. I'm not even going to get into it. I'll let him defend it one day.
Right.
But an Alabama fan who happened to be like a horticulturist, I think, poisoned the trees to death, and both trees slowly died. He got in trouble because he bragged about it on a local radio show that he poisoned the trees. What is the comparison? Now knowing that's on the table for college football, what's the worst thing you've ever seen at AFL? Fan-wise.
Well, I mean, nothing that sort of grand and amusing. just more like people swearing at each other and getting into fights and
sure.
That sort of stuff. Yeah, maybe very occasionally somebody will spill some bodily fluids into an empty beer cup and throw it at somebody who supports the opposition, but that's pretty rare. It's never happened to me, luckily.
Mm. Okay. Now, let's say you had a bunch of AFL fans all standing around, and then one guy from Perth walked up. Would everybody just turn around and start kicking him?
No. I don't even know what happens in Perth, really. It's very far away from me. They have their own ways and they're welcome to them. There are two AFL teams based out of, Western Australia. That's the West Coast Eagles and the Fremantle Dockers, whose logo is a dock worker. Yeah.
Okay.
Very inspirational.
That's reminding me of that particular episode of The Simpsons with John Waters. That's what that's reminding me of.
Yeah.
I will have you know, you just described the two teams in Perth. Neither one of them claim Perth in their name.
No, although they are both sort of, I think, I don't know the area that well. I think they're both suburbs of Perth. I think Fremantle's part of Perth.
But neither one of them are proud enough of Perth to say we are Perth.
No, it's not in the name. But neither of them were involved in the grand final, and I think we're all better for it.
Okay. So in the big argument of rugby versus AFL, and obviously there's soccer fans, but they're stupid, right? Like, nobody pays attention to them.
Right? It's not as popular as those two. But it's gaining ground.
Soccer's behind cricket, right? Like, they're number four, even.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, cricket's probably number one, because sort of of Australia will watch that.
Okay, so cricket is the one thing that you'll all agree on. Like, yes, Perth guy with pants on your head, you're allowed to come sit next to us, the cricket's on.
All is a generous term, but most people. I'm not a huge cricket fan, but the people that enjoy it love it.
It just struck me that there might be something above it. What about My Kitchen Rules? Which comes first, cricket or My Kitchen Rules?
Is that a sport, technically?
Sure. Gawking at Pete is obviously a sport. Pete Evans. Sure. I mean, come on.
Sure. Staring into Manu's eyes. Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about.
No! That's what makes it better. They're learning references.
Yeah, I think cricket would still edge them out. Yeah.
Threw in MasterChef? What if we threw in all competitive cookery shows?
Well, see, that's the thing. You've got MasterChef and My Kitchen Rules, and that splits the vote. Some people are loyalists to MasterChef, and some people will only watch the antics of My Kitchen Rules. So
that's like the cookery version of rugby versus Aussie rule.
Absolutely, although I don't think it's as divided by state lines.
You mean people in Queens? I would see Queensland's people being big MKR fan.
Look, they might be. I wouldn't just don't like associate to speak with for like Queenslanders. That. that's right. I try to keep them out of my life. That's not true.
So, in summation here, as if this is a ninth grade history essay. In summation. This year's Aussie Rules football grand final. Look, our fans go look that up, torrent it, YouTube it, do whatever they got to do? We're non-judgmental. Should they find a way to see it?
If you're interested in it, if this has piqued your interest, absolutely. It would be a great game to watch. There's a lot of people saying that it's one of, if not the best grand finals of all time. It was, you know, very dramatic. And of course, the underdog story helps. And yeah, just a very exciting day with an amazing crowd. And I just want to throw this in, because in Australia, we want nothing more than to be more like America. We are getting more and more into the pre-game entertainment side of things.
I was going to ask you about this. I'm so excited. Who was here?
Yeah.
Who's here?
Well, this year we don't do halftime yet. I'm sure that's coming. It's all before the game. So this year there was a couple of Australian acts to open up, Vance Joy and The Living End. But the big name, the international headline act, was everybody's, you know, favorite red-blooded sports guy, Sting. sadly, he didn't bring his loot, but the people seem to enjoy it.
was it better or worse than that your Meatloaf showed up?
Look, Meatloaf is infamous here for his atrocious grand final performance. That's another thing you could look up on YouTube. It's out there. He was just hollering off key. If you've seen Meatloaf live in the last 5 years, you know what it was like. It wasn't great. it was kind of cause for great controversy on why are we spending so much money on these international acts.
Especially if they're going to be like a Coen brothers character who just shows up and hollers at us.
A hollering fat guy, yeah. Sting actually did okay. He opened with his new single, which is everyone's favorite song of his, of course. It has a song title of some kind. Then he played a couple of police hits. He did Message in a Bottle and Every Breath You Take, which is, again, what better to get the blood pumping for some football. But he was upbeat enough.
Are y'all ever going to ask Hank Williams Jr. to come?
Get ready for some football.
He's got the perfect song.
Oh, well, I don't think so, but if they did, all my rowdy friends would love it. But, yes, Sting... He did okay. People seemed to enjoy it. He kept it upbeat. There was no medieval ballads or anything. Like you say, he was a lot better than Meatloaf. Meatloaf sort of lowered the bar so low that pretty much you can do whatever as long as you just can sort of sing on key and people will be happy.
Have you had an American act since Meatloaf, or has it been all like Brits or maybe a German or two? I assume Serge Gainsbourg has done this thing.
Maybe in the 70s, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if he's still alive. I'm just gonna pretend he is.
I don't think he is, sadly. But in the last 5 years, I can remember Lionel Richie doing it.
That's a good show. That's comedy.
It is, and it was fun, but it was sort of amusing when, again, everyone's, you know, ready for some football action, a bit of violence, a bit of athleticism, and Lionel comes out and starts singing Hello.
That's true. He's not doing he's not doing a lot of Commodore's hits these days. Like it's it's all like the 80s soft ballads to get your aunt, you know, get her downstairs moving.
Exactly. But then, you know, he transitions into All Night Long and Dancing on the Ceiling and everyone has a good time and it's fun.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And again, so we're wrapping this up. Where can we find your musings? Where can I go get my Lee Elliott fix? Where can I find him at?
Well, I can't say I ever tweet about football or sports in general, but I do tweet a lot about professional wrestling. And if you're into that, why not check me out at Boss Moz, BOSSMOZ.
Oh, that's Z for American.
Z, sorry, yes.
and isn't there some place else where we can find stuff you do? I think there's another place, is there not? Bossmoz.tumblr.com?
Oh, .tumblr.com, yeah. There's some stuff I did a few years ago about a wrestling video game. I kept a diary of created stories, and it's...
You are underselling the hell out of that. There's not been one person who's ever read those things who didn't die of laughter.
People seem to enjoy them, so if that sounds like something you'd like, look it up.
That famous Australian modesty, no wonder you haven't thrown the queen out yet. You're just too modest.
that's the problem.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lee. This was tremendous. And thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, in the corner here, Zach, you got anything to say? Zach?
And we're back. Wow. I learned some new things about a little sport from the land down under. Love that, Dan.
Yeah, it was very educational. I had no idea how much the Bulldogs were beloved underdogs there in Australia.
Wolf.
Wolf. But how about that pregame show being Sting in 2016?
Yeah, crazy. Sting, tantric sex man.
Yep, sure.
Well, all right, let's get into some pick'ems. You ready for this, Dan?
My favorite segment of the week where I embarrass myself every week.
Yeah, and sadly, people, there will be no horn this week as nope. I'm having to record this on another device. But let's kick things off.
What do you mean there's no horn?
We're going to have homemade horns. All right, let's kick off with this one. Michigan State, favored by 6.5 versus BYU. I like Michigan State a lot.
Oh, I like BYU a lot here. Michigan State's no good. Indiana beat them straight up. Michigan State's trash. If this spread was like 3.5, I would take Michigan State, but 6.5, nah, I'm not trusting them.
Don't like that one. All right, next game, Clemson, favored by 17, going to Boston College. I kind of want to tease Clemson up to 21 there and make even more money.
I'm pretty sure that line could be whatever you want to call it, and I'd take Clemson.
Yeah.
That is a 2011 Oregon line where it's just like not high enough. I could go much higher.
All right. And then, our next game, we got your boys, Pittsburgh playing in Heinz Field against Georgia Tech. Pittsburgh's favored by 6.5. I kind of like Tech there to lose by like 4 points.
This is that part of the year where like Georgia Tech, you think they're dead and then they play well.
Yeah.
That is the patented, like, Paul Johnson bitches out Georgia Tech, facilities and then has a good game that week. You know, this is not the first time that's happened.
Be interesting though.
Pitt has less experience defending the option as some of the other coaching staffs in the ACC. I could see Georgia Tech's offense moving the ball on them and this thing being like a, you know, two teams rushed for 300 yards and a close.
Next one. Kind of a pick 'em, basically. Maryland's favored by 1 point going to Penn State.
Jesus, we have reached the day where Maryland's favored against Penn State. I think that's good value. I think that's the point where I take Penn State because I don't think Maryland's all that good.
I don't know if I'm touching that one.
Maryland cannot throw the football at all. So if Penn State can do anything to stop the run, Maryland's not going to be able to throw it. Now, I say that. Penn State's linebackers are literally walk-on student body players because all their linebackers have been decimated by injury. So they may not be able to stop the run.
All right. Red River Shootout, Oklahoma, Texas. Oklahoma's favored by about 10.5.
That's too much. Take Texas.
Yeah. I like Texas there too a lot.
Texas is too good at scoring. Their offense is too good for you to put 10.5 on them like that.
We kind of got a game. I think you might be excited about, Dan. You were telling me earlier. Vatech, UNC. UNC favored. I see UNC 2.5 on some places, 6.5 others. If you got 2.5 UNC, take that all day. Lock it up. That's my lock of the week.
Yeah. If you've got 2.5, I would take that. But 6.5, I don't know. I like Virginia Tech pretty good. I like the way their team is coming together.
But I'm seeing 2.5 for most books. A few books are...
If it's 2.5, I would say, well, I would stick with Carolina because they are at home. Once you start getting to a spread that's like 2.5, you're basically saying who's going to win. You know, 6.5, I think Virginia Tech could keep it closer than that.
Yeah.
That is my pick for what's going to be the most entertaining game of the week.
Well, here's my pick for most entertaining game of the week. FSU Miami in the Criminal Bowl. Miami favored by about 3, 2.5, mostly around 3 though. I like Miami to win that game outright.
Yeah.
Probably by a touchdown.
Yeah. FSU's done. Lock it up. Michigan or Miami's beating them by like, by 9 points. They're beating them by at least 9. This is not going to be a one-score ball game.
Yeah. And, we don't know where this game's going to be played, if at all. Georgia, South Carolina. Georgia's favored by a touchdown.
Yeah, if they do play that game, it's going to be like a mess, weather-wise. That favors South Carolina, just because Will Muschamp, like, he's only happy when a game is in complete horrible, like, situation where the weather's awful and nobody can do anything. So if they play that game, I would take South Carolina. Yeah.
And it depends on where they play it, because that game could be in Samford.
It's going to be a weird game. I might want to avoid that one.
Yeah, I might want to avoid. Yeah, because there's a good chance it's going to get pulled off the board anyway. So why waste your time?
All right. Well, I've got a double lock of the week. Vandy catching three, going to Kentucky. Give me Vandy catching three all day.
I'll take that too. Lock me up as well. That is a double lock of the week.
Yeah. We got Washington favored by 8.5 or 9, depending on who your guy is. I like Washington a lot. They'll probably win by 15 to 20, be my guess.
Yeah, this could be like, you know, that thing you watched last week against Stanford. Yeah, it's going to happen again to Oregon.
It's going to be even worse.
At least Stanford had something resembling a defense before Washington destroyed it. Oregon has nothing. Oregon gave up 300 yards rushing to Washington State.
Yeah.
Mike Leach rushed for 300 yards on them. Mike Leach.
Think about that. LSU, Florida. LSU's favored by 3. I love LSU favored by 3.
We're agreeing a lot this week because I think LSU is just going to lay a whooping on Florida.
Yeah, there's not many great games this week. So
this is the week that Ed Orgeron starts getting serious look at having that job, because he just left Missouri dead on the side of the road last week. He's going to do the same thing to Florida this week, and people are going to start going, you know, Ed Orgeron.
If he plays Alabama close.
If they beat Alabama, he's going to get the job.
Yeah. And I think we all want Coach O. I think we're all kind of rooting for Coach O to keep his job.
Yeah, and he would be a throwback to like an SEC that's like long dead, but they're like the SEC used to, every coach symbolized his state. So like Spurrier was the Florida head coach and he was a golf cracker. Then you had Phil Fulmer was the Tennessee coach and he was like a nosy church deacon. Which is the most Tennessee thing in the world. He was a fat church deacon. You know, the Auburn head coach was always a shyster. Like, always a car salesman. And then, and the LSU coach being like a wacky fat Cajun who doesn't speak English too well. Like that, yes, that's what it should be.
That's what we want. We got another game in the SEC that I like. This is kind of my SEC game of the week. Alabama going to Arkansas. Alabama favored by 13.5. I'm looking at Arkansas hard.
I take Arkansas because they always play Alabama close.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's one of those where if I'm gambling, I might bet on the second half spread. Let's see how Arkansas looks. You know, let's see how they look.
That's true.
But
Arkansas has done a good job of stopping Lane Kiffin's offense there. They have a good, and their offense is sort of, they don't score a lot of points on Alabama, but they just hold the ball forever and they just, they disrupt the rhythm on Alabama's side. And I think Nick Saban, when a game turns into like a 1990s Big Ten game, he's totally comfortable with that. And he will go in and go, yeah, okay, it's a Big Ten game from 1990. We're going to win 9-3. I'm fine with that. So
when Alabama to win. Yeah.
And tease I think it Alabama up to 15, wins.
I like it. Yeah.
Alabama wins, but that spread's really high for an Arkansas-Alabama game.
Yeah. And that's kind of it for the big games this week. So not the, there's some storylines to look at this week, but it's not going to be as fun as last weekend.
Well, that means that it's going to be insane and great because we don't think
something
it will
weird's going to happen.
Like so, somebody's going to give birth in the middle of the Auburn game.
Hopefully.
And then that infant will burn down the trees.
But as we get ready to close out our that son of a bitch. You know that girl got an award.
I know. She's a hero.
Yeah. She is. I forgot her name, but yeah, good for her. But as we get ready to close out this week, anything you want to plug, Dan?
Well, as always, it's the Champions at Heart podcast, which I think you can still find us at FirePro Podcast under our old name. This week we're doing, Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame Part 2, where we went over the Japanese and, the new category, which is basically all other foreigners.
Mm.
So like Australia, Europe. I think Africa is in there too.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. It was a good show. Good show as always. I think, and obviously my Twitter at Dan MP Ford.
Yeah. And remember to check out my Twitter at Clay Travis.
BGID.
BGID.
Is he still BGID?
I don't know. Is he still ripping off Barstool? Cause that's like a big thing, right?
I haven't kept up with Clay Travis in years.
I know.
I haven't kept up with him since he started. Like, I remember when he first started Outkick the Coverage, and I was reading that, and then that,
yeah,
that went down. That
I feel like there was something like a few weeks ago where like the head of Barstool, you know, like the racist Boston guy, like he, was like losing his shit because Clay Travis like ripped off one of their bids or something. So there you go, Clay. Keep being original.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can catch me at Zachary T. Gilbert on Twitter. Just changed my name to a Halloween theme, so that's a lot of fun. So you can check that out. Oh yeah, Dan, you have a fuck you of the week?
Oh, fuck you of the week would be the Sydney Swans for stealing the Notre Dame fight song.
Ooh, there you go. Fuck you, Sydney and your Swans. My fuck you of the week? You know what? I had a pretty good week. I'm not really gonna say fuck you at anybody.
Everybody's
I would
cool
say and... fuck you to the movers I hired. I paid $300 to literally move like four things of furniture like across the street. But yeah, I was kind of happy not to move anything. So pretty happy.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know what? You moved apartments and you had a good week. That means that you have a positive mental outlook.
Yeah.
Because well, that is a very Auburn's stressful back. Thing for a lot yeah. of people.
It really helps with Auburn being back. You know, we didn't talk about them this week. Well, if they beat Mississippi State. Don't worry, people. We'll be back to talking about Auburn way too much on this podcast.
Yeah. We don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it for you.
Yeah, please don't. But, all right. That Anything else, Dan?
One, I mean, that, right. I can only think of one thing left to do, and that is, turn to my right at the man at the keyboard and say, play that music, Jason.